Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have an Apple review, and this one comes from Naya Sky, and it says, "My new besties. You gals are amazing, hilarious, and my new besties. Loving the chemistry between everyone. I love listening to you guys talk about the smut, especially relating it to your own lives and perspectives. Listening to you gals every week is my guilty pleasure while powering through a tough day at work. Keep up the laughs and smutty fun. Your horny little rats are waiting."
Thank you.
Thanks.
The little so sweet. Swarm.
I just did a rat noise for you.
Squeak, squeak.
Thank you.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Married to the Alien Cowboy by Ursa Dax. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 3.5. I like that it's different than the other alien ones that we've covered. It's not the exact same premise, which I thought was really interesting. I just didn't connect with the characters very much, so...
Fair.
It was an easy, okay. Fun one.
I gave it a 4.5. I loved it.
I gave it a 4. It was what I want in an alien romance. It was cute. It was low stakes. It was spicy. I liked the characters. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
On the planet Zabrian Panat 1. I don't know how to say the alien planet. Sylar is our MMC, and the others that are with him learn that they are being sent women. They want to know why they're being sent women, because they've only ever been sent boys as wards to work on the ranching planet. So they're like, are the women criminals? What's going on?
Like human women?
Yes.
Mm.
He thinks to himself they would know what it's like, since they're the first generation of underage criminals to be dumped on this planet. So it was a barren planet before. And then him and these others were charged as criminals on their planet and sent to this one.
Oh, so now they're making like a new little world.
It's like a labor camp.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's literally like they just ranch every day for the rest of their lives.
Well, damn.
The warden tells them that they are not criminals and they aren't here on the same program as these males. They're actually being sent as brides for all of them.
They're like, oh, you're a criminal? We'll give you a bride.
Bride for you. Bride for you.
You want to fuck? Here you go.
The alien named Zahoro is pissed about this, but no one else is too upset. He's mad because he knows they officially will not be leaving this planet back to Zabria. So he had hopes that they were eventually going to leave this ranching planet, and now, since they're being sent women, they're not leaving. It is put to a vote, and 3 out of the 5 vote to agree to the bride program. Then the warden tells them that they're all human women, not Zabrian.
Mm.
Zoro starts saying, great job voting to human women. They're small, weak, prone to injury and illness. But Sylar wants to know if they have tails, because these males have tails. And this is all he's thinking about. He's like, I wonder if they have tails to help out around here. Because, like, they're very helpful appendages to have.
Oh, so they're, like, useful tails.
Yeah, they use their tails for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, God, I hope they have tails.
Yeah. Zoro tells him that human women do not have tails. So Sylar's like, do they have extra arms in? Like, how are they going to help out?
Yeah.
He's disappointed to learn that human women only have 2 arms.
I'm disappointed about it, too.
Same.
Cherry's our FMC. She just got home from her factory shift when she locks, deadbolts, and pushes furniture in front of the doorway. She knows that it's not going to stop the crime lords from breaking in, since she owes them money, but at least it will be a warning for her to run. As she goes to make her dinner, dinner, she hears someone try to jiggle the door handle. Then all of a sudden, it's lasered off and the door bursts open. The big brute of a man tells her that she's late on her payment, and if she doesn't have money, she can come work it off for Magnus in other ways. And he, like, looks at her body, like, all like, ugh.
Ew, creepy man.
She pretends to comply, but then tries to fight him, and she uses her one beloved item that's been passed down for generations, a cast iron pan.
It's sturdy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting whacked with a cast iron pan?
I feel like that would kill you.
Yeah. Straight to the dome. Yeah.
Yeah. She hits him and takes off running with nothing, no money, none of her things except for this fucking pan, and absolutely no plan. So she gets onto the lift and one of the advertisements plays and it catches her attention. Zabrian males want brides. Find your new home and husband on the ranching outpost planet of Zabria Pinar 1. All bridal travel and expenses paid for. And she's like, don't know what the fuck that is, but I'm down. And she like scans the little QR code thing and gets a ticket straight to her phone.
Damn. Okay. See, this whole time I was thinking she was like scooped up and taken there.
Which has been our other alien books, which I thought was refreshing to not be kidnapped.
Yeah. It was the woman's choice.
She's going willingly this time.
I mean, kind of. She's like on the run from... Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. A loan shark, I think.
Yeah. She makes it to the station the next morning in her dirty work uniform, overwhelmed by everything she's seeing, because at this travel hub station, there's different alien species, foods, smells that she's never seen before. She is shocked to see other women there, other human women, and when she follows them into the room, she learns that they are also doing the bridal program. Their names are Magnolia and Darcy, and then their human liaison comes in to explain that the planet has a colony of males who have various ranching and farming endeavors. Darcy wants to know why they don't send Zabrian women, but the liaison says she's not sure why they don't do that, but don't worry because each warden is at the outpost, so nothing will happen to these human women. And Cherry's like, why the fuck do you need a warden?
Yeah. Wait, so they don't know that they're like criminals up there?
No.
The liaison is like, I think it's just a word lost in translation, and I'm pretty sure in Zabrian it means government official.
You're wrong.
Yeah. They learn that if they accept the males when they get there, they are required to at least stay for 1 month before they can request to leave if they don't like it.
That's nice. So they can, like, just dip?
Yeah, they have, like, a little trial.
Yeah.
Nice.
The women learn that they won't be leaving the planet until next month, and now Cherry's super anxious because she's like, oh my god, these people are after me. Like, I gotta get moving. Over the course of the next 3 days, they go through a bunch of medical tests, receive translators in their ears, and Cherry gets a little stipend of cash, so she gets new clothes. Because she's been in this dirty-ass uniform for, what, 4 days now?
Yeah. Hell yeah. They're so
stinky
nice.
Stinky girl.
Cherry learns that her new husband's name is Sylar. They're assigned the husbands. They don't get to choose which one.
Okay.
So she's assigned to Sylar. When she goes to return to her sleeping quarters, she sees that a vessel is arriving from Terra Tribe 1, which is her planet. And now she's immediately panicking, thinking that someone from Magnus's crew is arriving on that ship to hunt for her.
What was this ship called? It was called, like, Slut Killer or something.
Yeah, something like extreme. She rushes to her room and packs everything she's accumulated so far with her cash stipend and the cast iron pan, and she leaves. Can't forget the pan.
Mm-mm.
She heads back to the station and notices that in 6 minutes, a ship will be headed to Zabiar Pinar 1. She rushes to the terminal and runs into a male with a white, wide-brimmed hat and the same seal that's on all of her documents.
His face was cut in all hard planes and harsh angles, his jaw wide and firm. His smooth hide was the color of fresh human blood. For a second, I would have sworn that his eyes were a bright, furious white, but I blinked, and then they were dark, narrowed beneath heavy brows. Long black hair did nothing to soften the appearance of that rugged, alien face set in its stony expression. So he's fucking bright red?
Yeah, so that's to give you like a taste of what they kind of look like.
That freaks me out.
But they're all different colors.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, bright red, that's jarring.
Yeah.
She begs him to take her, and she's part of the new bride program going to the planet anyway. And he tells her that he will not let her board the ship until he talks to the warden. So he calls the warden on a comm device as she silently begs in her head, please, 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 please take me. Sylar gets a call from the warden. If he hurries to his office, he can meet his new bride, Cherry Dawson. Sylar's confused because he thought they had another 22 days before the brides got there, but he is immediately on his way. Cherry's on the new planet. It's quiet with a lot of open space, and brick red dust is already caking to her boots. She meets Warden Ten as he leads her inside so they can wait for Sylar. He helps her get her comm tab set up. It's like a phone.
Okay.
So it can call his comm, and he lets her know that it's very rural here, and she most likely won't be able to contact anyone except for who is already saved on the comm tab. Then he announces that Sylar is approaching. Warden Ten has her stay put inside while he goes to Sylar, and she can hear him reprimanding Sylar for not bringing his covered wagon or even wearing a shirt to meet his bride.
It was last minute. Yeah. He's just showing up in his natural state.
Rough.
She peeks out of the door and sees a horse-type creature and realizes her new husband is an alien fucking cowboy.
Yeehaw.
She watches her soon-to-be husband clean his horse down and then clean himself off, and she's very intrigued. She watches as he undresses and bathes himself with the hose really quick, and she can't take her eyes off of him.
The male looked like some artisan had lovingly crafted him into existence. An artisan with a real hard-on for masculine musculature, because Sylar had that in spades, and it wasn't just rippling muscles he had to spare, because when he tossed down the hose and turned around, I came face to dick with the biggest phallus I'd ever seen. Oh, he's just like fully unclothed?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's showering.
Crazy boy. Even in his presumably relaxed state, the organ wasn't totally limp and floppy. It was slightly stiff, that same golden color as the rest of him, arching out and down away from the taut V shape of his groin and poised above a sizable sack-like mound that I supposed was the Zabrian version of balls, but less dangly. Oh my goodness. Wait, okay, so his balls are under it. Okay, for a second I was like, wait, his balls are on top of his dick? Yeah. Imagine.
Ah.
And he's like gold.
Oh.
So he's like, yeah, a really pretty golden color with bright turquoise hair.
Oh, okay. I want a blue one.
Yeah.
I think I'd want like a yellow, you know?
Oh, I want pink.
Wait, I thought he was red.
No, that was the one guy that was loading the ship.
Okay.
So they come in all different colors with different hair.
Oh, how unique.
With big old dicks.
Yep, that aren't ever soft.
She continues to spy, telling herself it's so she isn't surprised later on by his anatomy until he redresses. Then he turns around and makes direct eye contact, and she starts panicking.
Yeah, how could you not?
So she's looking out the window, and she's trying to be like, hi, oh my god, my name is Cherry, like, I'm so sorry, I was just peeking out the window. And the window's closed. And he's, like, across the yard.
So he just sees her mouth, like, moving.
Yeah. And then she goes a step further and tries to open the window as she's continuing to, like, word vomit. And the window doesn't open. So she's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I just...
I would just duck.
He just stands there watching her struggle and talk to herself. And then the window opens and she's face to face with her new husband. He still doesn't say anything to her. And then the warden approaches. She asks if Sylar doesn't want her, but Sylar can't believe he's looking at his new bride. Oh my god.
Oh.
He's just speechless.
He fancies her.
The warden wants to know if he wants to marry Cherry, and he'd rather have a tail amputation without not marrying this woman.
Oh.
And that's saying something.
Well, yeah.
If he wanted to, he would.
He says he does if she also agrees, and she quickly agrees. The ceremony is quick, and they're supposed to twist their tails, but she doesn't have one. So she suggests the human tradition of a kiss. The males have no idea what that is, so she's like, never mind. But the warden tells Sylar to step closer and do the kiss thing.
Yeah, I just would have been like, it goes like this.
He's also like 7 feet tall, so she's like, can you bend down?
Oh, he's a big boy.
And she gives him a quick peck on the mouth. He jerks back like she hurt him, and she goes to apologize, but he just walks away. The warden assures her that Sylar's fine, and they call him Silent Sylar, so he's not a man of many words, but he's solid as they come, and he won't do anything to hurt her. The warden tells Sylar to be good to his wife, or she can leave after 30 days, and then her and Sylar head to his house.
The whole way home, Siler was trying not to touch Terry because every time they touched, it felt like he was being electrocuted.
Like in a good way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. They get to his house and Pookie is nervy. He hopes it's enough for Terry and would do whatever she wants to make it more comfortable for her. Because after her little peeping Tom shower incident and he just like stood there and walked away, she was talking to the warden and she said, if he doesn't want me, I'll marry anyone else. But he walked in like at the end of the sentence and he only heard, I'll marry anyone else. So now he thinks that she doesn't want him.
Oh my God.
So he was like in his head, I'll do whatever she wants. Like, I just want to keep her. She's beautiful. She's perfect.
Poor guy.
When Cherry tried getting off the alien horse herself, she was basically just like slung over the saddle and her booty was in his face. And he's just standing there like staring at her butt. And she's like, Siler, can you seriously help me? Like, I'm stuck.
So they all speak like the same language?
Well, they have the translators.
Oh shit, that's right.
Duh. He helps her down, about to get his alien horse put away.
But for the moment, I found myself once again wholly occupied by the sight of my wife's backside, this time as she bent down to retrieve my hat from the ground. My cock pulsed. I think there is something wrong with me. I wanted to clasp her hips while she was bent over like that. I wanted to rub my cock on it. There's definitely something wrong with me. Such a desire could not be natural.
Yeah, it is. Rub your cock on it. He says, what's wrong with me?
He's never even seen a female before.
Cherry hands him back his hat and he immediately puts it over his groin to hide his erection. He's like, oh, nothing to see here. And then Siler gives her his hat from childhood, so she now has her own because the sun is intensely hot. So when they were like riding on the little horse back to his house, he gave her his cowboy hat so that way she didn't get sunburnt, and he got sunburnt instead of her.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, like you cannot go outside without the hat.
So he found one from his wee little childhood and it fits her like a glove. They were chit-chatting away and Siler was happy, thinking maybe him and Cherry really could work it out. That was until she asked if this is his parents' ranch, since he's been here since he was a child. And he can't believe it. They didn't tell the brides that he was here on a sentence, that she doesn't know that he killed a man.
He's a killer?
He knows that he has to tell her, but he's thinking maybe he can just show her the ropes first and gain her trust and show her that he's not a bad guy. And then he'll tell her. Cherry gets into the house while Siler is tending to the alien horse, and she's pleased to find that it's very clean. She's looking around in the kitchen, and she puts her pan away, and she notices that he's very minimalistic, like almost too minimalistic, where you can hardly tell that anyone even lives there. He has no kitchen table, no chairs, nothing. Hmm. She finds a Human for Dummies textbook in his bedroom and finds it open to like a picture of the human body. Like he was like studying, trying to learn about her.
Oh, cute. Knowledge is power.
And she also finds out that the bathroom is indeed an outhouse. And she thinks to herself, she cannot shower out there. She'll literally freeze to death when it's like in the winter and it's cold. When Siler comes back inside, she asks him about the bathing situation. He's like, oh, I have a small bucket you can fit in. Just bathe inside the house and you'll be fine. And she's like, okay, cool. Thanks.
In a small bucket?
She's very accommodating. Well, small to him is like her size.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because he's giant. But she's literally like, yep, I'll do whatever I have to. Please don't send me home.
I feel like I'd be the same way.
When she finds out that his poor little ears are burned because he gave her his hat, she tries to apologize, but he doesn't get it. He's like, what are you apologizing for? And she's like, let me make this right. So she grabs his hands and his eyes turn bright white. And she's like, okay. It's like her number one mission to find out what the color change means.
Also, his ears, the way they're described.
Oh my God. I hated it.
They're like hamster ears.
Yeah, like under his hat, he has like these two little half globe hamster fuzzy ears.
Oh, they're on top of his head?
Yes. Yeah. I hate them.
They're like Arthur.
Oh, I was going to say, that's what I pictured.
But think of like this big, burly alien with like Arthur ears.
Yeah, ew.
But she said they were really cute.
Ick. Have different ears.
She finds a chair in a closet and she drags it out to the kitchen and makes him have a seat. And she tends to his little sunburnt ears with some antibiotic ointment from Terra Tribe 1. He tries hiding his little human manual from her, and she's like, don't worry, I've already seen it. But he says that he's embarrassed because he didn't want her to see how much he hasn't read yet, but he is trying. Cherry's finished putting the cream on Siler's ear, and she wants to wrap it to protect it before he put his hat back on. And he doesn't have any gauze, any wrap, nothing. So she pulls out her cherry red scarf, and he's immediately like, no, do not use that on me. That is way too nice. I'm not worthy of it. And it made her poor little heart break for him because he doesn't have a table. He doesn't have chairs. He seems to live life in like solitude, and she's like, who is there to take care of him? And she decided right then and there that she was going to be that person.
That's her man.
So she told him that he is more important than one scrap of fabric and tied it on his cute little head.
Oh, cute.
It's later in the day and Tyler came home from ranching to Cherry making him dinner. And he can't believe it. He can't remember the last time anyone has ever made him anything. He gives her the rundown of how the ranch is run by the warden, but doesn't know how to tell her that he doesn't actually have free rein over his earnings because he's a convict. He can't even buy her a gift without asking the warden first. And he's feeling hella guilty, like he's lying to her by omission because he's skirting around the truth that he is very much trapped here. And she called him an honorable man for working so hard. And it's really like the guilt is nagging at him.
Also, I feel like it is not on him. They should have told them, I feel like.
Yeah. I wonder if in the other books you learn why they didn't tell them.
Yeah. Because like they should have been like, hey, baby, you're going to be a prison wife, just so you know.
Cherry could not sleep because it was literally below freezing and he only had one blanket in the house. When her shivering got to the point of painful, she just decided to go look for Siler and found him in the barn out back. He's working on making a table and chair for the kitchen because she made a comment about wanting to be able to sit down and eat with him. Oh, he's yeah. just a thoughtful king.
He's just a sweet guy.
When he asked what she was doing out there, she told him it was hella fucking cold and she really needed warmth. He only runs the fireplace in the dead of winter due to the wood it burns, so he would be her heat source tonight. And guess what he's doing? He's spooning his human.
Oh, I bet he's gonna get a hard on.
Oh, yeah, girl. He tries to be a perfect, gentle alien about it because he is rock hard and he doesn't want to scare her off. She notices that his eyes flash white again and she has the courage to ask him what the color means. He told her that they turn white when they feel very strong emotion. And she's like, damn, that could have fooled me. You seem very controlled and locked down. This made his mind go to very dark places, though, and he thought about how he lost control as a child when he was convicted of murder.
A child?
Yeah, he was just a child when he...
She pulled him out of his thoughts by asking him what emotions he felt for her, and she apologizes if she's just been bothering him, and he's totally thrown off by that comment. He still tries to understand her better, and she tells him that his eyes were white when they met and when they kissed, and he's like, yeah, girl, I was surprised. Like, I'm not annoyed by you.
They're communicating.
He asks if he could hold her, but she didn't answer because she fell asleep.
I carefully moved the arm not currently claimed by Cherry and fisted my cock with a muffled groan. Cherry sighed in her sleep, snuggling harder against me. She slung a slender leg across my thigh, her knee coming perilously close to my fisted cock. Heat seeped from the place at the apex of her thighs, and I squeezed my cock even harder, panicking at the fact that I really might ejaculate now. I focused on my labored breathing, trying desperately not to think of the secret human place between Cherry's legs that was now nestled so perfectly against my hip. Why in the great stretches of the empire did she need me to warm her? I wondered, when that part of her was so dizzyingly hot.
Because she's turned on.
Check off, check off.
Cherry woke to intense heat, and it's the whole house. It's basically a sauna because Siler got firewood and is blasting the fireplace.
He said, I'm gonna come. I can't.
I gotta get out of here.
She puts her little makeshift bath right in front of it and strips naked, taking a bath while Siler isn't home. She made a little surprise yelp when she stepped into the shockingly cold water, and a few moments later, Siler comes barreling through the door, making sure his pookie's okay. When he realizes that she's naked, his eyes go stark white, and she grabs her long pajama top and puts it on. Only she's still soaking wet, and it just pretty much clings to her body.
Oh, her titties! Siler was obviously aware, too, his heated white gaze glued to my tits, and as if his hands couldn't help but follow his eyes, he made a choked sound low in his throat, closed the space between us, and pressed his rough, warm palms against my breasts. Oh, he just went for it. This part of Cherry had not been hard before this morning. I would have noticed. She'd been submerged up to her chest in that cold water, and now the ends of her udders were about to fall off, and it was all my fault. What the fuck? Her udders! Her udders? He thinks her boobs are gonna fall off?
He hasn't finished the book yet, remember? He has no idea.
He doesn't know what breasts are. He thinks they're udders. He quickly flips her around and her back is to his front, basically like puts her chest directly on the fire because he thinks that her tits have frostbite.
Oh my god.
And he's straight up panicking and he tells her that they must act quickly or else her udders will die and fall off.
She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Once she's confirmed to him that she is in fact all right, they have a cutesy anatomy lesson and she boldly takes her top off. And Siler's hella horny. Cherry told him that if he wants to and if he's gentle, he can touch her.
Oh, she breathed, tipping her head back against the wall. Thinking I'd been too hard again, I ripped my hands away, only for her to grab them and guide them back to the achingly soft curves of her flesh. I stifled a groan as I felt the tips, the nipples as she called them, stiffen once more. Sensitive, she said.
He's still trying to understand what breasts are because the women from his planet don't have them.
Your instinct actually wasn't far off, she murmured. They are for milk, for babies. If they are for babies, I choked out, then I should not be touching them. I should also not be struck with the sudden desire to suck on them either, but I did not say that horrifying part out loud. But Cherry did not seem horrified. She shivered under my touch and shyly said, they can be for husbands too. There was no denying the sudden spurt of seed from the tip of my cock. It was but a small tremor of ecstasy, not a full climax, but it was there all the same, slick and wet. He said, oh, just my pants.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Tyler's like, well, since we're talking about it, if boobies are for husbands too, like, is kissing just for marriages and funerals? And she's like, nope. And he's like, I want to put my tongue in you right now. And Cherry wasted no time. Yeah, he got to it.
It's funny because he thought kissing was only for, like, ceremony type things. And she's like, funerals? Like, what?
Why would we kiss at a funeral?
So Cherry wasted no time throwing her arms around him and started smooching.
The soaked and silken tip of her tongue touched mine at the exact moment that her fingertips came into contact with the sensitive, healing edges of my ears. It was also at that exact moment that I climaxed, my sack swelling and my cock shooting seed into the tight clutches of my trousers. I groaned into Cherry's mouth as pleasure ripped through me, my hands spasming against her breasts, my hips rocking helplessly against her bare belly. Oh, he full-on jizzed his pants.
He did.
He's like, it's been so long.
But he's embarrassed. He's like, enjoy your bath, bye. And he like literally runs away. And she's like, wait, come back. And he's like, gotta go.
I have to change my pants.
Right before he left, Cherry was also about to orgasm, so she had to finish the job herself. All day she was feeling off because he was just not around. Like, that was the last time that he saw her all day. He was not near her for the rest of the day. And at the very end of the day, she was on the brink of tears. But have no fear. He came inside with the finished table and chairs, and it gave her more hope.
Cute.
It's night-night time, and he was hesitant to take his pants off because he didn't want to sleep naked with her due to, like, his chronically hard raging dick. She assures him she's fine with it and brought up the memory of her already seeing him naked and then her saying that she would marry anyone else. She cleared the air and tells him that it was because he looked at her and walked away and thought that he didn't want her. And he was stunned because to him, she's perfect. How could he not want her? Just as she was about to fall asleep, she tells him goodnight. And right before she slips into the darkness, she hears him say, goodnight, wife.
Oh.
The next coming days, Siler is showing her how to work on the ranch, and she's got it bad for her haughty alien husband. He's attentive and thoughtful and gentle with the animals. One thing he's ever been stern with her about is that under no circumstances is she allowed to go near the fences, especially if the fence is damaged. Although she asked why, and he didn't tell her, but she promised she would stay away. She was elbow deep gardening while Siler was out ranching, and when she felt a terrifyingly deep rumble. She goes out to the road and sees a huge, massive, dusty wave crash towards her, and it's a massive stampede. She tries running away and falls on her butt, and the impact and the dust is making everything, like, super disoriented. And she's like, this is it. I'm gonna die. But then she hears her name being called and feels herself being thrown and flung up in the air and lands into a saddle, and Pookie Siler has come to save her.
Also, a stampede of what?
Bulls.
Oh, okay.
But like alien bulls.
Oh, okay.
Because they ranching.
That's true.
They get way ahead of the stampede and then suddenly turn around to face them head on. And she's literally about to crash out thinking that they're going to die. But then she notices that they're not alone. There were other riders wrangling the stampede too. She's like, wait, you do have other people? Because this whole time, she's not seen one other person.
She just thought it was him on this planet?
Well, she knew that there had to be other people because she met the other girls, the husbands. But she hasn't seen anyone up until this moment.
Okay.
When it's not a life or death situation, Siler drops her back off at the house and she climbs on the roof to get a view of what he's doing out there. She's got to make sure her hubby's safe. Finally, it's controlled and she can take a full breath. That is, until Sylar's tail shoots up and wraps around one of the rancher's throats.
Sylar hasn't felt rage like this since he killed the man, which is what got him sent here to begin with. But Fallon's herd almost just killed his wife. He's legit ready to strangle Fallon to death, but Cherry starts screaming at him to stop immediately. He orders her to go inside, and then Fallon tries to apologize and tells Sylar that he didn't even know his wife was here yet, or he wouldn't have sent the herd through this part of his property. Because remember, she came early.
Oh, that's
right. She ain't supposed to be there.
Yeah, no one else is showing up for like 2 more weeks. Fallon is obviously distraught and feels absolutely horrible for almost killing Cherry and tells Sylar he needs to see her so he can apologize. And Sylar's like, get off my property or I really will kill you. Just then, Cherry yells out from the porch and is like, dinner's ready and bring your friend. So now he doesn't really have a choice. Before they walk up, he asks Fallon not to mention his criminal history to Cherry because she doesn't know yet. They head on in, and Fallon tells Cherry that if his wife is half as pretty as her, he's a lucky guy. And she's like, oh my god, thank you. And Fallon is just this, like, bubbly, cutesy guy.
He sounds very sweet.
He is very sweet. She warns Sylar not to try to strangle Fallon again in the house, and then Fallon starts to word vomit about how it wasn't malicious. It's just how Zabrian males greet each other, but Cherry isn't buying it. Fallon's like, oh fuck, Sylar told me not to mention that he's like a violent criminal, so he wasn't trying to kill me. We were just like shaking hands. Like, that's just how we say hi.
He says every time we greet, that's what we do.
Sylar grabs her and drags her to the bedroom and gives her a long, hard hug. She starts to sob into his chest and he freaks out thinking her tears are blood, so she has to explain what crying is to him. He's like, your eyes are bleeding. Oh my fucking god.
Poor guy.
He asks how he can heal her as he searches frantically for his book on humans, and she's like, no, I'm just experiencing intense emotions, kind of like your white eye thing. She tells him how much she loves hugs, and he can hug her anytime he wants to. He hugs her some more and strokes her hair, and Cherry can't help thinking to herself how right this feels. Then Fallon starts calling out to them from the other room, asking what's going on in there, because he's like in the dining room, and they're just having this moment in the room, and he's like, hey guys!
I'm still here!
So they head out there and Fallon apologizes to Cherry for the stampede and she tells him it's okay. He didn't almost kill her, his cattle did. And then she realizes that Sylar was strangling Fallon for almost killing her and now she's like, whoa, he really likes me. She tells Sylar while she doesn't approve of his actions, she understands why he reacted so strongly and tells him what a good man she thinks he is. But he's like, no, I'm not a good man. And he's like, wait, you aren't frightened of me? And she tells him she's not angry, just disappointed, and thinks to herself it also made her secretly kind of horny.
Girl.
They have their dinner that Cherry prepared, and Fallon asks her about his future wife, and he tells her he was matched with a human female called Darcy. Cherry's like, Darcy's a little cold, and Fallon seems all warm and bubbly, so that's kind of a weird match. Because when she met the other girls before she fled the planet, Darcy was kind of just like a cold, hard bitch.
And Magnolia was like nice and sweet.
Maybe they're like, we need to toughen up Fallon.
Yeah, maybe.
Give him a stone cold bitch.
Sylar not so subtly tells Fallon he should probably go check his flock and get out of their house. But Cherry's like, no, it's totally fine. He can stay. But Sylar's like, no, he should go. She tries to get Fallon's information on her comm device, but Sylar shuts it down even though she just wants to answer any more questions he may have about human women. Sylar literally shoves Fallon out of the house and slams the door. He wants to do that hug thing again. On his way back from showing Fallon out, he brings in the trampled hat he gave to Cherry, and when he shows it to her, she starts crying about destroying something from his childhood, but he literally doesn't care. He's just glad it wasn't her. She sees that his tail is cut and bleeding, and she tells him to take off his pants so she can bandage it up. He drops trow and instantly gets hard, covering himself with a bedsheet.
He drops them trousers.
He apologizes and Cherry says, there's no need to be sorry. Right now, they'll take care of his tail and then they'll take care of other things.
your dick.
As she cleans his wound, they talk about the stampede, and she tells him she's never seen him so upset before. And he's like, yeah, I saw someone die from a Genka attack when I was younger. So that's what the cattle are called. They're called Genka.
Yeah, and the horse things are Shuldu.
Oh. Genka and Shuldu.
Nice, you know.
She jumps into his lap to give him a hug, and she can feel him hard against her. She leans in to kiss him and slides her tongue into his mouth and starts to moan. She asks if this is all right, and he just grabs her back, returning the kiss.
She arched her spine, pressing herself even harder against me, as if trying to fuse our fronts together. I grimly congratulated myself on the fact that I did not immediately empty my sack through my cock this time, though I was very, very close. The inside of my wife's mouth was sweeter than anything I could have ever remembered tasting. Sweeter than any of the fruit I grew on the ranch. Sweeter than any delicacy I could recall having eaten in childhood on Zabria. Maybe even sweeter than cherries, though I would not know for sure for some cycles yet.
Also, I was wrong about the Genka. The Genka are like the predators on the planet. They're like giant wolf things. So the Genka broke the fence, and then the Shuldu had a stampede.
Oh, okay.
My apologies.
How dare you?
He tells her she has no idea the things he wants to do to her, and she asks him, what things?
From the moment I helped you down out of the saddle that first day, I have wanted to rub my hard cock all over your backside. Her mouth fell open, her eyes widening, and I knew that I should stop. Stop and preserve whatever respect my wife still had for me. But now that I'd started, I could not stop. The words flowed out of me like blood from a wound. And not just your backside, I groaned. I have dreamed about rubbing myself on your belly, your breasts. Tortured myself with thoughts of what you might look like, smell like, taste like between your legs. I want to suck on your nipples, put every part of myself inside you that I can. Fingers, tail, cock, tongue. Spill myself into your cunt and even, perversely, outside of your cunt. See what you look like dripping with it, absolutely coated in it.
Dirty boy.
Naughty.
He immediately apologizes for his unnatural urges, and she's like, oh my god, sweet baby angel, that's not unnatural. He confesses that he's a virgin and he's never done anything with a woman before, and she decides to give him a little biology lesson by stripping and kneeling between his thighs, telling him he can do any of the things he just said to her, and if he wants to do more than that, then they can talk about it.
Maybe I should tell you things I want to do to you now, she said huskily. My cock throbbed, my breath crashing like I'd just sprinted to her. I want your mouth everywhere, she purred, including here. She drew her delicate fingers down through the dark hair between her legs, spreading herself, revealing the pink and glistening seam of her sex. The skin there was so beautiful, smooth and slick, an opening surrounded by sweetly ruffled flesh and crowned with a mysterious nub that seemed small and unassuming enough, but that some deep instinct told me would be very important. I want to lick all the way up the shaft of your cock, then take you in my mouth and suck you. I jolted, the cock in question nearly erupting at the image she'd just put in my head. In all my deepest and darkest moments of perversion, I had not come up with such a thing. Cherry was even more perversely imaginative than I was. I am the luckiest male alive. Then I want to get on top of you, sink down on the cock I just sucked, and ride you like a Shuldu. I must be dreaming. I must be dead.
Ride it, girl. Cowgirl. Also, like, how bold of her to be like, I want to shove your massive penis in my mouth.
Girl.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not afraid of lockjaw.
He reaches forward and starts touching her until she moans, and then he can't hold back and dives face first between her thighs. It's the best head Cherry has ever had, and even though Sylar is inexperienced, he's paying attention to her body and her reactions until she has a crazy orgasm as he shoves his long tongue inside of her. Then she comes back down to reality, and she looks down between his legs and is shocked by what she sees. Because remember, he had like a little bed sheet on his lap.
What at first glance I thought was a sort of extra ring of flesh around the base of Siler's tapered cock wasn't a ring at all. It was moving, rapidly unfurling into a prehensile tendril of flesh, almost as long as Siler's massive shaft. I watched it with dark fascination as it twitched and undulated. Okay, this is fine, I told myself, feeling a tiny splash of panic. It's just another weird, more wiggly dick, or a tentacle, or a, you mean my cocktail? Your cocktail, I repeated, still gaping. Cocktail means
means something very different where I come from. But now that he said it, it did look a lot like a tail. It was basically a miniature version of his other one. A slender, muscled rope that seemed to serve precisely zero purpose, but was there all the same, so I'd have to just figure it out. It's okay. I can work with this. A tiny dick tail is definitely better than a tentacle. Oh my god. Yeah. I bet it puts in some work.
We'll see.
When she comes to terms with what she's seeing, she decides she wants to blow his mind by blowing his dick.
What a sentence.
Nice.
I think that was in the book.
Well, it's nice.
I love it.
She strokes his little tail with her index finger and it wraps around her. A tiny bit of cum shoots from Sylar. He likes it a lot.
I left my finger at the mercy of his desperately clenching tail, lowered myself, then kissed the glistening tip of his dick. The cocktail coiled hard against my knuckle. Siler's muscles turned to stone, every tendon in his body snapping to rigid attention. The dark mound squeezed again, and I palmed a hot heft of it with my free hand, sliding my lips over his tip to create a tight seal of suction. At the first hot suck, my mouth filled with fluid. I gurgled in surprise, swallowing the first spurts of it down. The taste was oddly pleasant, sweetly spiced, like something between cinnamon and mint, but there was way too much to swallow. Eventually, I had to pull my mouth off his cock, regretfully. Fully letting some of the shimmering stuff ooze out of my mouth back onto his tip. Cinnamon and mint.
Sparkle.
Oh my goodness. What a flavor profile.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the cum of a killer, Bella.
He's still hard, so she starts giving him a handy, asking if he wants to be inside of her, and he says yes. She straddles him and starts to dry hump him as his cocktail starts to rub her clit. She starts to slide part of him inside of her and tells him he can move his hips and starts to talk him through it. She pushes him in the rest of the way and tells him he feels incredible and she already feels another orgasm creeping up. They come together and then collapse down on the bed with Sylar gently rubbing her back. She wakes up in the middle of the night, desperately needing to pee, so she sneaks out to use the outhouse. She hears footsteps behind her and a large hand grabs her arm, but when the male speaks, it isn't Sylar.
Who is it?
There's a weapon placed against her temple, and they say, "Haven't slept more than an hour at a time since you broke my nose, you bitch. I wouldn't let myself until I tracked you down, and here you fucking are. It's Magnus." The cast iron pan man. He forces her out the front gate and toward his ship that he tells her is cloaked, and then he's gonna have fun with her on the ship before he puts her in the bottom of the lake like he promised. That was what he said he was gonna do to her in the beginning of the book. He's like, "I'm gonna put you in the bottom of the lake." Then they hear, "Take your filthy hands off my wife," and Sylar is standing there with a knife in his hand. Magnus tells him to drop the weapon or he'll blow Cherry's brains out. Sylar throws his hands up, releasing the knife. Magnus releases his grip a little, but doesn't realize that Sylar just caught it with his tail. So he drops it and then just picks it up with his tail.
So it's just like behind him?
Yeah. Oh. He flings the knife through the air at Magnus, hitting him right in the eye. Sylar walks over and slits Magnus's throat for good measure. He orders Cherry to go back to the house and lock the doors while he checks to see if there are others. He secures the property and assures himself that Magnus was working alone before heading back to Cherry, and she tells him about the frying pan incident and how she was on the run from loan sharks and that's how she wound up here. She feels horrible he had to kill a man for her, but he tells her it's not the first man he's killed. That's why he's here. It's a colony for criminals and he's a convicted murderer, and she's shocked.
He says, "Baby, this ain't my first rodeo."
Yeah. "I'm a cold-blooded killer."
She says this was self-defense, though, and he's like, "That doesn't fly for the Zabrians. I was a child protecting my mother from an intruder the first time, and I was still convicted."
Oh, sir, you're not even a real criminal.
And his own father turned him in.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's the Zabrian way.
He says after this, he will probably be sent back to the Empire to labor in the mines until he dies. And she's like, "No, you're my husband. Do you have a shovel?"
Let's bury this bitch.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, hell no."
He says he does, and she's like, "Cool, because we're digging a grave."
Yeah.
They're going through their plan and talking about how if they get the Shuldu to drag his ship to the inside of the tree line, then they'll never have to tell the warden. And then they hear, "Won't need to tell me what."
Warden, what are you doing here?
The warden already knows. He found the ship and the body outside. And Cherry's like, "It was me. I killed the guy." But the warden isn't buying it because the man was huge and her hands are clean while Sylar's are covered in blood. The warden looks between the two of them and sees how they're willing to protect each other, no matter the cost, and tells them, "This isn't a marriage bond. This is a mating bond he's seeing."
which I guess is a big deal. I don't know. He thinks for a second and tells them he's going to leave, and by the morning, the ship and the body will be gone, and he will alert the appropriate authorities to let them know the human got all turned around in his ship and got gotten by a predator when he landed. A horrible accident. So the warden's like, I got you guys. I'll cover for you.
What a homie.
Sylar walks him out, and the warden tells him that he's a good man, and he's lucky to have Cherry, and also the package he ordered arrived. That's why he came here tonight, and on the porch is a cherry tree sapling.
Cute.
Sylar goes back inside to Cherry, who is crying and overwhelmed. He cleans her up, and she begs him to come to bed with her. He does, and she tells him she doesn't care about his past, and he tells her he doesn't care about hers either. They just want each other. They exchange I love yous, and in the morning, the body is gone. The warden took care of it.
Nice.
Cherry goes outside to see her cherry tree. She thanks Sylar profusely, and they figure out where to plant it from up on the roof, hoping it can thrive on this planet so they can have cherries every cycle. Then he grabs her, kissing her, and they start getting all frisky as he jerks off and fucks her with his big tail. So, regular tail.
Oh, he fucks her with the regular tail.
The regular.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn.
He tells her to say that she'll stay here with him, and she says she's staying, and she loves him. They come together and lay on the roof, tangled up in one another for a while before they climb down to go plant their cherry tree. The end.
Cute. Very low stakes. I love it.
Yeah. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'd give it 4. I liked it. Very cute.
Uh-huh. It was a fun one.
I think I'll read it.
You should. Everyone should.
Do it.
And do you think Sylar is sexy?
Yeah, why not? He sounds like a gentleman. And that's sexy.
Yeah. Would you trade places with Cherry?
I mean, yeah, I would if I was running from something, for sure. I'd be like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
But like, if my life was fine here, probably not.
Yeah, that's fair. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Kiss of the Basilisk by Lindsay Straub, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And good luck to you, because I had no fucking idea, and it was a wild ride.
You guys, I have no fucking clue. It's got a woman, her back, and then a snake on her and flowers. And like a gauntlet, I think that's what it's called. And then some apples, some fruit. I don't know why, but I'm thinking it's going to be some like old-timey, I'm probably way fucking off, but some like old-timey, like Renaissance type deal. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like maybe there's going to be like a serpent king, a snake man of sorts. And she's going to fuck him, but it's going to be scary. He's possibly going to be a bad guy, but I do think it's going to be like Renaissance-y for some reason. I don't know why. It's just the vibe it's giving me. And I think there's going to be a snake man or some type of snake because there's a snake on the cover. And I'm just thinking like a serpent king. Is a serpent a snake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what a basilisk is, right?
No. What is it?
Giant snake.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that. I'm just going off the vibes.
It's like anaconda on crack, and if you look at it, you get petrified to stone.
Oh, see? That helps my old-timey vibe for some reason. I do think it's going to be like, lords. And what are the ladies called in those types of scenarios?
Ladies.
Ladies? Lords and ladies. I think that's what it's going to be like. I do. Am I close?
You are close, yeah.
Oh, bitch. You hear that?
But when I'm telling you, you are not prepared for what transpires in this book. You are not fucking prepared.
Ooh, like in a good way?
Like in, you're gonna be shocked.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.